everybody. Thanks for listening to the RacerX podcast show. Just a quick reminder that you can email me at mathes@racerxonline.com, M-A-T-T-H-E-S, and I'll do my best to respond to you. Check me out on Twitter at PulpMX, as well as check out PulpMX.com for some cool stuff that I think you might like. But anyways, on to the show. Thanks for listening.
This is a warning. Your brain may explode from listening to this show. We will not be held responsible if it does. What are you going to do about it anyway? You won't have a head. You've been warned. And now, welcome to the Racer X Podcast Show with Steve Mathes.
And you're listening to the Racer X Podcast Show. And if you don't like it, go f*** yourself.
This is the Racer X Podcast Show. I'm your host, Steve Mathes. And I have to say, I have one of the more exciting young kids I've seen in a long, long time. Geico Honda's Justin Barsha. Barsha, what's up?
Nothing much. Just hanging out. How about you?
I'm chilling. Thanks for doing this, man. And you know what? I really like the fact that you responded quickly to the text message and you set it up and you're all professional about this. I like that.
Yeah, you know, just want to get out there to the fans and stuff.
I know, but there's a lot of kids that would never reply back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like it. I like that. Of course, I talked to Wes Williams before I did this and I said, hey, like, would he be good on the show? What's he like? Is he a funny kid? Is he cool? And you know, Wes gave you the thumbs up, so I can see what he was talking about. So thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, for sure. Definitely would love to be on the RacerX podcast.
You kids nowadays, you probably have Twitter and Facebook stuff to do and MySpace stuff. So, you know, just to take the time out is quite an honor.
Yeah, definitely. No problem.
What's been going on with you since Steel City? What have you been up to?
You know, just kind of relaxing, you know. The definitely been here. Obviously, I live right down the street from MTF, and I definitely can't stay out of here. You know, I there's always here bikes riding because I live right down the street. So I've been coming over here and hanging out, and you know, I've seen the guys riding out here. They have built a brand new motocross track, so I had to ride a little bit yesterday. I was really itching for it, so I rode with some of the amateur guys and, you know, chased them around, pushed them. Because we have Joey Savacci and Kyle Peters going to Australia this week for the U.S. They're riding for the U.S. kind of little race for MTF. It's kind of pretty cool. You know, they have, like, U.S. on their jersey and stuff like that. So it's going to be cool. I was chasing them around, pushing them, see how they're riding. They're riding great. So that's really cool. And, you know, actually, I'm really into fishing. I don't know if you heard, but
no.
I actually went and bought a new boat, you know, after, you know, South Lake. I made a little bit of money, so I figured I'd get myself something. I bought a nice little ocean boat, you know, because do a little fishing. So it's just been doing kind of stuff like that.
Well, you got the ocean's far from you.
Actually, it's not too bad. It's about 2 hours from me. We're right out of Tallahassee, so
oh, okay.
Pretty good.
All right. Well, I'm Canadian, so my geography could be off, but
yeah.
Hey, what's it like in the off season? Like, you're not, I mean, did you time yourself? Did you do lap times, or was it simply just going to have fun and ride?
No, definitely with, you know, me and my dad talked, he said, you know, just go out there, have fun. Cause I'm really not supposed to be riding or anything. Just relax. And I don't have any supercross bikes or anything, anything like that yet. So I went out there and had fun, but I kind of got into the racing mode when everyone was out there riding and stuff, and just kind of put in a few motos, had fun, you know, it was cool.
Right, right. So your plan, are you doing the U.S. Open, or?
You know, Mike LaRocco called me the other day and said, you want to do the U.S. Open? I was like, man, I got to think about it. I'll talk to my parents, and, you know, we kind of just thought it was a little too soon. I haven't, you know, we don't have the new bikes yet or nothing like that, so we're going to skip it.
Yeah, yeah. So Supercross 2010 will be either east or west. You know that yet?
Yeah, definitely east, but it depends on, like, if someone gets an injury on the west coast or something, I might have to. So I'm going to prepare myself for the west coast, but I'm definitely going to probably do the east.
Let's get this out of the way right away. Now, Wygant claims you're from Jersey. He really wants to claim you. Can he? I mean, what was the deal there?
Yeah, he can definitely claim me from Jersey because I was born in New Jersey and moved to New York after that. So.
When did you move?
Probably when I was 3 or 4 years old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're Jersey.
Yeah, I'm Jersey, I guess.
You know, Lawrence kind of gave up on Jersey. He never talks about Jersey, doesn't give it his hometown, nothing. So he's looking for a new hero, you know.
New Jersey hero.
Yeah, yeah. Karsten, Barsha, you know.
Right.
And so do you have a place in SoCal? Do you spend much time there?
No, actually, I haven't been out there. I just pretty much my home base is MTF. You know, I help out here a lot. You know, I help build the tracks and stuff like that. That's one of my favorite things to do is run a dozer, excavator, bobcat, stuff like that. And just pretty much I'm always here at MTF, but, you know, I have to go to California. I just get a hotel and, you know, do testing and fly back to Georgia and stuff like that.
Yeah, stay out of SoCal. Stay out of it.
I actually am not I don't really like California at all.
Because you're gonna have a lot of money here soon, and that's when trouble starts in SoCal. So.
Yeah, definitely. I don't plan on going out there too much unless I have to.
From what I understand, there's nothing out at MTF except for GPF, and so there's no trouble to get into. So, sounds good.
Yeah, definitely. MTF is a pretty secluded place. You know, we have you know, just some food places to eat, no mall, no nothing. It's just pretty much all we do here is we have a gym on our property, we do training, and we ride. That's it here.
Oh, jeez. Now, I'm interested, like, does GPF people hang out with MTF? Is there a feud there, like a East and West thing, or Crips and Bloods, or how's that work?
You know, GPF, I can see it right now. I'm in the gym right now talking on the phone, and I can see GPF, you know, through the trees. But it's pretty much shut down right now. There's not too many guys over there. They'll probably start coming back soon. But we, you know, they ride over there, we ride over here. We don't really talk too much to each other.
Really? That could be like a magazine's feature, you know, the GPF versus the MTF guys.
Yeah, it could actually, you know, something like that.
Let me ask you this on a more serious note. You know, we've been talking, myself and a few other guys have been talking about MTF. Now, obviously a thriving business, a place that produces good riders. But, you know, when I think of MTF, I think of three guys, Brian Johnson, Martin Davalos, and Davey Millsaps, obviously. And all three of those guys, I mean, Davey's had a lot of success, but, you know, he hasn't become a champion like a lot of people thought he would in the big bikes. Davalos has had a few down years struggling. Brian Johnson had a gnarly crash. I guess he's almost done. What do you attribute that to, or is it just sort of a stroke of luck, or is there anything that you guys have thought about as far as just being at MTF and maybe being so familiar with each other that you don't push each other? Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not too sure. You know, Brian Johnson, he got hurt and then came back and, you know, his bike broke on him and he broke his back again. So he's definitely probably done riding as far as I know. He's out here training, helping Colleen. Mm-hmm. So he's around. And Davalos, you know, he's had a lot of injuries lately and stuff. So I'm not sure what's he up to really right now. He's kind of just working out in the gym and stuff like that. I don't know if he's doing riding. I'm not really sure. We haven't talked too much. So.
Right.
I don't know. I kind of just stick to my own program, you know, go day by day, do my own thing. You know, if they're out there, I'll chase them around, and, you know, they'll chase me around. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of – I do my own thing, but, you know, not with other riders. I'm here with Colleen and the trainers, you know, just everyone. Yeah. So kind of just – depends on if they want to ride with me, they ride with me. And sometimes we all, you know, get in arguments when we're riding. It's just crazy sometimes.
One time Ferry went up there, and he said a bunch of guys just really wanted to practice on taking each other out. And
yeah.
He didn't like it so much.
Yeah, it's definitely like a race here, you know. Gets pretty crazy. I remember, I think it was Davalos. I wasn't riding Supercross yet, and Davalos and Brock Tickle were going at it pretty crazy, taking each other out and stuff. You know, it gets crazy out here.
Yeah, the only point we had in talking, it was me and I think it was Wygant, I don't know, was that maybe you guys are so insulated and you ride the same track kind of every day that you're not pushing each other. You're kind of comfortable. I mean, with you, you can see that, you know, you're a young kid and you don't look comfortable out there by any means. You're pushing the limit all the times. But I mean just sort of the other guys once they get more established. That's all.
Yeah, I think definitely some of those guys get too comfortable riding the same track every day. And, you know, they don't have anyone to push them. Like, you know, outdoors here for me was a little bit tough because I didn't really have anyone to push me because I was the only fast guy here. And, you know, because Davalos was hurt and stuff. So
right.
It was kind of tough for me to push myself, but you know I managed to do well. But I think Supercross will be better because you know there's going to be a few guys coming in. I think you know, and I'm not really too sure who's going to be coming in yet. But
you know there'll be somebody.
Yeah, there will definitely be someone to push me. You know, since I'm going to be a little new with Supercross, but I think I'll get the hang of it pretty fast.
Dude, I'm telling you, not to fill your head up, but as good as you are outdoors, you are going to kill it in Supercross with that style of yours. I would lay money on you if I was in Vegas. I mean, I know it's your first time and stuff, but you know your riding style is pretty unique, don't you?
Definitely. I don't know. I've just always ridden kind of on the edge, a little hanging off the bike, doing kind of crazy stuff. But yeah. I definitely rode a little Supercross last year. The team sent me just a kind of like an amateur Supercross bike, and I definitely did pretty good. I ran with the guys that were riding for months, so I think I'll do good. You know, I definitely want to do really good in Supercross.
Now, this is probably a dumb question, but how did you develop that riding style? I mean, I guess you just got on the bike and went, but you know, you're seriously like nothing I've ever seen before as far as a rider. I mean, James is pretty phenomenal, but he's more in control than you, but yet you're not out of control because you don't really crash all that much. So it's like a controlled out of controlness, if that makes any sense. How did you develop that? How do you work on that?
It was actually, you know, I don't know, you know, my dad taught me how to ride when I moved to New York and stuff like that. We started riding and stuff, and it kind of just, I really was scared to jump jumps and stuff like that. And, you know, it kind of just got better and better, and then I actually came down to MTF, and I was really out of control. I crashed every day really hard, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was on 85s, I would just crash so hard. And, you know, finally I got to the point where I could go that fast and not crash, and it was just a really good mixture, and, you know, I just figured out how to go that fast and be a little out of control, but keep it on two wheels, so I'm not really sure how I did it. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, it's a really, really neat thing to watch you work the bike over, you know? Watching Yoon Purcell is pretty amazing, watching exact opposite of riders, but...
Yeah. Definitely. Purcell, I don't know how he does it. You know, he just looks like he's cruising around. I'm look out of control trying to go as fast as I can.
So what was the decision behind you jumping in for the Nationals and not doing the traditional wait till Supercross move? What was the decision behind that?
Decision was kind of, you know, finish out Loretta Lynn's and take my time. And didn't finish out Loretta's. I kind of just trained while everyone was riding Supercross and stuff like that. I was doing outdoors training, getting ready for Glen Helen, testing nonstop. It's kind of just kind of a team decision, and my family, we decided it'd be a pretty good idea to do the whole series and get a lot of experience, and, you know, that's definitely what I got, a lot of experience.
Yeah, talk about going into the series. I mean, I got a buddy of mine who's friend with Schneike, and Schneike was like, you got to see this kid. You're not going to believe this. But, you know, the hype was pretty big on you. But yet, how did you think you were really going to do, truly deep in your heart? What did you think?
You know, truly deep in my heart, I thought I could definitely do top five, and I really wasn't sure what I could do. I knew I had the speed for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was just I wasn't really too sure what I could do. I knew I could do good, but I definitely think I should have won more races this year, but it's kind of just... I don't know. At Texas, I had a really bad crash and hit my head pretty hard, and that kind of just threw me off for the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy how you just hit your head once and it'll mess you up.
Right. Now, Glen Helen, though, you grabbed the lead like second lap, maybe first lap. I don't remember. But, I mean, what was that like? You were just like, holy shit, I'm winning?
Yeah, that was pretty ridiculous at Glen Helen. You know, I led both motos a little bit, so... That was insane for me. I couldn't believe that. When I got done at the end of the day, I did pretty good, and I was pretty ecstatic about it.
Not only leading, pulling away.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could have did that the whole year.
Yeah, I know. It was gnarly. But, you know, you got pooped at Glen Helen, and that's to be expected, and nobody really came down on you too much for that. Did you So right away after Glen Helen, probably Hangtown, because when you crash at Hangtown with Stroop, you were going backwards from the front. You knew your fitness wasn't that good. Did you immediately start do? Because you know how hard it is in the middle of the season to gain fitness. You're already in a routine.
Yeah.
What did you have to do for that, or did you do anything to get your fitness back to where you know where it was winning motos and races?
You know, definitely went back. I was flying back every week back to MTF, and I was definitely getting on that bicycle and getting out in that heat and pedaling my butt off every day. You know, trying to get in shape as good as I could. I definitely was in shape. I just, I didn't know how much I needed, and I definitely needed a little more than I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I definitely did get a little bit more, but actually at Glen Helen, I was pushing myself so hard. I've never probably pushed myself that hard. My hands were just holes bleeding everywhere.
Oh,
so,
were they? Yeah.
Yeah, my hands were ruined for Hangtown, and, I was holding on to dear life and just couldn't hold on anymore and got it together with Stroop, and that was kind of the end of
that. Now, you did more bike work? After the first race, I mean, you started doing more bicycling, or did you just sort of help get your hands healthy?
Well, I kind of pretty much just taped up my hands and went out and did motos and got on my bicycle and, definitely did a lot of bicycling.
So what'd you think of your first year? Just what'd you think?
I think it was, I'd say it's pretty awesome. I definitely won one national at Southwick, so.
Yeah.
That was definitely something I wanted to do. I don't know. That felt really good. I got a few podiums. I was happy with the season. It could have been, now what I know now, I learned a lot out of this season. And I think if I could redo it, I would definitely hopefully be in the championship run.
Right, right. I was actually looking at the points, and yeah, if you give yourself a couple of the points motos you dropped out, you're right in the hunt. I know ifs and buts were candies and nuts and all that, but you definitely could have been a major factor had you not had the Hangtown moto, not had the Texas moto. But, oh well. Besides Southwick, what was your favorite track?
My favorite track was definitely Southwick, but I definitely liked Redbud. Redbud was sick.
Yeah, yeah. First time there?
Actually, I was there once before that, and I definitely loved it, and the dirt's awesome there, and I like big jumps, so it has some big jumps, and that was definitely a really fun track for me.
Yeah, and what was the biggest surprise that you got racing the Nationals? What was something that you didn't expect or didn't think would happen, and then, it kind of caught you off guard?
I'd probably say riders. Amateur, there was a few, I was a really aggressive rider, and,
right.
I hit people and stuff like that, but it was never really crazy. No one ever really wanted to fight or nothing, but at the pro nationals there was a couple guys that wanted to fight me at the races and stuff like that. It was kind of crazy. I wasn't expecting the guys to be like that crazy. I guess that since I was rookie and stuff, they weren't expecting that, but they were kind of crazy.
Now you just I can't let that go. Who wanted to fight you? What happened? When was that?
Let me think what race that was at. That was at what race was it?
I don't recall. Oh, it's Hangtown.
It was High Point.
High Point.
Yeah. It was actually with Matt LeMoyne. he's kind of, when we were amateurs, when he was an amateur, he used to be a really cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got to the pros, he was like really cocky and stuff like that with me. And I was walking to go to the bathroom after the sight lap, and he like elbowed me. I elbowed him back and stuff.
Really?
And wanted to fight. Yeah, it was crazy.
Bam.
I know.
It's like high school.
Yeah, pretty much. Never went to high school, but I guess that's probably what it's like.
Right, right, yeah. Elbow. I used to elbow dudes all the time. We fight. No, just. was it something you did? Like, obviously, you did something. You accidentally took him out, or you did take him out, or who knows?
Actually, it was about a start or something, because there was a pileup or something. I had to go through the banners off the track.
Mm-hmm.
Back on the track, and he said he told the referee that I cut the track, and the referee, I talked to the referee, he's like, no, you didn't.
Right.
And he I guess he was all mad, so he wanted to
Wow. Fight. Gee whiz.
Yeah, crazy stuff.
Yeah, hey, so what about your teammates? Talk about them. Which one did you get along with the best, or which one, which one's the funniest? Which, talk about them a little bit.
Teammates, I didn't really hang out with any of my teammates too much.
Mm-hmm.
Kennard was around for the first few until he got hurt. He's a really nice guy,
Mm-hmm.
And Wyndham showed up for one race. He gave me some tips
yeah,
and
yeah.
stuff. And I definitely felt like I got along with Metcalf, the best. He's a really cool guy.
Yeah, he's pretty mellow.
Yeah, he's real mellow, just laid back. You know, he's a really cool guy. I like, you know, his style and stuff. He's a really nice guy. He gave me some pointers, stuff like that. We helped each other. And it was just good. You know, he's a good riding with, testing with, stuff like that. It was cool.
Right. Did you ever go to, like, any Supercrosses or Nationals in your area and get autographs and all that stuff? Were you that kind of kid?
Yeah, oh, definitely. You know, if I didn't actually – well, we didn't really get to go to too many races. You know, money was tight back then and Didn't get to go to too many, but definitely I was loving getting autographs and stuff like that when I could go.
Yeah, like you would, you'd read all the magazines and all that. So some, you know, some kids that I find some guys that are coming up, like they're just sort of in their own kind of little world and they're not really sure, like, who did what as far as championships and this and that, but, you know, I guess you're not one of them.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I never really kept track of all the championships and stuff like that, but, you know, I just knew the top riders and stuff when I was little. I definitely kept track of riders and stuff like that.
Who was your favorite rider growing up?
Favorite rider, you know, I was a little when McGrath was around, but, you know, I really liked him. He kind of was done when I started really getting into motocross, but I'd definitely say Ricky Carmichael back in the day and now James Stewart.
Right, and have you ever talked to James?
Actually, I have never met James before. You know, that guy is, I definitely look up to him as a rider, but definitely want to be like him.
What about MC? Now you get to ride with, did you get to ride? I guess maybe you didn't get to ride with him too much, huh?
Yeah, actually, you know, McGrath was at a Honda testing one time in, we were actually riding at Ryan Hughes' place, Rhinoland.
Yeah.
And he came up to me and was like, he called me, what did he say to me? I forgot. He goes, you're going too fast out there. You're blowing out all the berms. That's what he said. And I was like, sorry, man. I'm just pushing it. You know, testing my bike.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was funny. He's like, and then everyone calls me berm blower now at Honda, so.
Dude, I'd be scared if MZ said I'm blowing out berms. I'd be like, yes, sir. No, sir.
I know, right? Yeah. I was like, oh, sorry.
Well, yeah, what are you supposed to do to that? That's seven time. It's the king.
I know, right?
That's the king.
Yeah.
Hey, what about JC Waterhouse getting let go? What can you talk about that and maybe talk about how he helped you and maybe your feelings on that deal as much as you can get into?
I'm not really too sure what exactly happened with that, but he was definitely a great team manager. You know, he did good stuff, helped me out a little bit, but I guess we have Mike LaRocco now, and he's, you know, I think that's going to be awesome. You know, he knows a lot about riding, and, you know, he's definitely, LaRocco was around this year, and he helped me so much.
Did he? Yeah.
Just tell me, you know, little tips and here and there and, you know, starting stuff and, you know, check this guy out, this guy. It was really good. You know, he's definitely going to be a great team manager. I'm excited.
So he is going to be the team manager then, you think?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure. It's 100% sure.
Yeah. You know, he was never known for talking a lot, so I'm surprised that he's into that job.
Yeah, you know, that's what I heard too, but I get along with Mike LaRocco really good. You know, he seems pretty talkative with me, you know. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. He's a straight-up guy, you know. He doesn't beat around the bush.
I would imagine. What's one thing that he's really helped you out with?
You know, really just testing. You know, he was at all the tests. We did some team tests and stuff like that with bikes and stuff, and he was, you know, he helped me a lot with my bike. He actually hopped on my bike one day, you know, rode it around. You know, I'm sure he's not as fast as he used to be, but,
right.
You know, he helped me out with some testing stuff. And even at the races, he was really good, you know, helping me out with lines and just starting, where to start on the gate, stuff like that. It was good.
Who's your closest friend in moto?
Closest friend?
Yeah.
I don't really think I have any close...
you don't have any friends? Weej will be your friend. Weej will be your friend.
Right? I don't know. You know, I don't really have any close motocross, like, friends that I race with, but
no.
All my, you know, there's a lot of kids here at MTF. I'm really good friends with everyone here at MTF, I'd say, but,
yeah.
You know, Brian Johnson came with me the last four Nationals, and he helped me out a lot. He was there for me, so
mm-hmm.
I'd say just the whole MTF crew, you know.
Right. What was it like winning Southwick? Must have just been a dream, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty serious, Southwick. It was cool, you know, just... It was pretty much a perfect day. You know, I got my first moto win and my first overall, so it was just awesome.
And then when you got stuck in the gate, were you just dread? I mean, did you think it was over?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I figured they'd red flag it because my gate didn't even drop, so I didn't really know what...
Really? It didn't drop?
No, because, you know, the guy next to me hit it so hard that mine didn't even fall. I don't know if you've seen videos of it or not.
Yeah, I saw videos, but it looked to me like it caught you. Like Tickle got caught big time, and then it looked like you went, and it hit your front tire. But no, you're saying no way.
No way, no. Because he hit it so hard that when I sat there for a while, and it didn't even fall. And then finally I tried to go, but it didn't. I don't know, it was crazy. So I just went up to start with one hand like, oh, God, I hope they red flag. And yeah, I came around, and I think the first lap I passed like 17 guys. So it was just, you know, I was on for the race, you know. It was actually turned out to be a really good moto and just an incredible day. It was, you know, it rained all day a little bit. It was just typical weather up there. It was really cool. I had a great time.
Yeah, Tickle was just a little early on that.
Yeah, just a little bit.
just a tad.
Got excited.
Yeah, on a track, too, that it's not easy to pass, you know?
No, that track was definitely really tough, especially because, you know, if you got out of the main line there, it was pretty deep and muddy. So it was a tough track to pass, and you know, but I did really well there.
Which direction you like it better? And did you ever ride it the other way? You had to have.
Actually, I did ride the other way a long time ago. I actually liked it the other way, but no, this way is not too bad. I rode it the other way, like, when I was on 80s with Jeff Emick, actually, back in the day. It was like a Fox Invitational, so that was pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah. That's actually how I got hooked up with, like, Fox and stuff, because Jeff Emick actually called them and said, you know, I was riding really good, and I got a Shift ride that year, and I was with Shift for like 5 years until I moved to Fox.
Nice. Fro Daddy.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
He recognized the greatness.
Yep.
That's cool. Hey, who's the, I guess this is a little early, but who's the next Justin Barsha? Who's the next amateur kid that's coming up? I don't know too much about those guys, but what do you see?
You know, right now, I really haven't been around a lot of too much amateur stuff right now. I haven't really seen any pretty crazy guys around yet.
Right. What about?
It's been kind of a little mellow right now, but you know, I don't really know too many names, but I've been hearing there's quite a few fast 50 riders and stuff coming up like that. So
really?
That'll be a couple years, I'm sure.
Yeah, you got some time.
Yeah, definitely got some time until I think we get some super heavy hitters.
Dude, what about Canada's Dean Wilson? Come on.
Yeah, you know, I don't know about him. You know?
You'll see. Don't worry. You'll see.
Yeah, I guess.
Canada.
I guess we'll see. I don't know. Is he riding Supercross this year?
Yeah, he's trying to get a ride.
Cool. Well, hopefully, you know, all the competition is better.
Right. It'll be Canada versus Jersey.
Right.
Hey, so what's your contract like? When are you up with Geico?
I believe I have this Supercross season and another full year of motocross and Supercross.
Okay, so yeah, they'll get you for a while.
Yeah.
What's the plan? I mean, I know this might sound kind of dumb, but what's your long range plan? Like, how many years in the lights class, and then how many four? You know, when do you move to the 450s?
I would say, I don't know. You know, maybe finish out this year in Supercross, and then, you know, next year a goal would be to win outdoors and Supercross, and then go 450, right?
I guess. I don't know. I know this is damn it, you've done 12 professional races. I want to know your whole career plan.
I know, right? But something like that.
Yeah. No, I'm just wondering. So next year, if you don't win the two titles, it'll be a bad year? That's what you're gunning for?
Yeah.
No doubt about it?
Yeah, you know, I definitely want to. I'm used to winning amateur stuff, so I definitely... this year was tough for me not winning all the races, so I definitely want to win next year.
It was tough not winning all the races.
I know, right?
Must be. Wow, it must be bad. what point when you were coming up did you start thinking? From what I understand, yourself and your family made a lot of sacrifices for your motocross career. At what point did you start thinking, hey, like I'm pretty fast, like I want to do this for a living? Do you remember when that happened?
Oh man. I'd say probably when I got my Factory Connection amateur ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was pretty serious for me. Like, they said, you know, they gave me a contract for amateur and then pro next year. So it was, like, pro when that was about to come up. So that was pretty serious for me when they gave me a pro contract when I was still amateur.
Mm-hmm. You started thinking, wow, look at this.
Well, this is my career now. I guess if I didn't want to do it, it's We're doing it.
What do you like to do in your spare time? Like just fish? Is that you follow any sports? Any other sports or anything?
Spare time, I would like to, you know, definitely fishing is my main hobby, and then help building tracks and stuff like that here at MTS.
Are you good on the dozer?
Yeah, you know, I'm not the best or nothing, right. But I can build some jumps and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Push dirt around, so I like doing that. And RC cars, that's pretty fun.
Dude, all you guys are into RC cars.
Yeah, I have a whole bunch of them at home, just play around on them, building stuff. It's cool.
I got to get one because then I got to be cool. Like RV's into it, Weimer's into it, a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, it's just a cool little hobby to do. You know, you can't get hurt doing it unless you
yeah, exactly.
kill yourself into the car into you, but it's cool.
I got a buddy out here in Vegas that's into it, and he goes, you know, and stands in the tower. He says, like, if the big guys are there, they get the tower, you know, because they got little gloves on and stuff for the remote.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I was down in Delaware before Bud's Creek at this track called Blue Diamond. And they had an RC car track there, and, you know, this guy pulls in with, like, a huge motorhome and trailer, and it's just got RC cars.
Come on. So, really?
Yeah, these guys are serious.
Yeah, yeah. Is it a truggy? Is that what you're into?
Yeah, just, you know, I'm really into whatever, you know. I don't care. I'm not, like, sure about, you know, RC cars. Like, I don't know a lot about them, but I just go and, like, buy a little one or something and mess it around.
And wreck them or whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. They break so easy.
Yeah, yeah. What did you learn this year from watching Dungey and Purcell? Did you pick up anything from them? I mean,
oh yeah, definitely. You know, it was crazy. You know, those guys. Really, what I picked up is just be consistent. You know,
yeah.
You know, like Dungey, he was a really smart rider this year. You know, he didn't, you know, have any bad races really, and you know, that guy was incredible this year.
And yeah, I guess that's the number one thing for you is just try to work on that, huh? Try to be,
yeah, you know, definitely just consistency coming in the Supercross. Definitely want to be, you know, top three.
did you talk much to Dungey and Purcell and those guys? I mean, I know they didn't talk, but did they talk to you at all?
I never talked to Purcell. He's a strange character.
He's a different dude, huh?
Yeah, for sure. He never said a word to me. I never said a word to him, but, I definitely talked to Dungey a little bit, you know, not a super lot, maybe just a little conversation here and there, but definitely seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Just kind of, you know, keeps to himself, laid back. But
right, right.
Definitely, you know, on the track, he's a really good rider, and he was on it this year.
The buzz for you before you turned pro was, this kid's going to blow up his bikes. It's never going to last. Can you hear him out there? You know, he's revving it to the moon. What do you got to say to that? Did you try to change that style, or is it just you?
No, that's definitely just me. You know, that's how I've always ridden. You know,
yeah.
All the guys on all those sites talking and stuff. You know, once you can get, I can get. You know, my team is a really good team, and they can send me motors if they blow up and stuff like
yeah.
that. So it's all right. You know, that's just how I've been riding for you know, my whole life. So
yeah.
That's just kind of how the style is.
Man, exciting style. I got to say, I don't want to sound like I'm just kissing your ass, but what great, what a cool rider to watch ride. That's you.
Yeah, thanks.
Next to Tim Ferry. Tim Ferry is the best, and then you'd be next best. So, what about the internet boards and such? You go on, do you look at that? Are you a big internet guy?
You know, I'm not too huge in the internet. You know, I have a computer at home, and, you know, I go on RacerX, obviously, and, you know, some of the sites like that, but I try to stay off those other websites that talk crap.
Yeah.
Know, they're just guys at home sitting on the couch that, you know, ride maybe on the weekends and stuff. They don't know too much, but
yeah,
kind of just, you know, you know, actually it's been a lot better because, you know, they figured out, you know, I'm a pretty good rider now, and they, you know, it's been better, so kind of just proven to the guys at home that I can, you know, win a race.
Right. I feel like there wasn't, even though you won a race and you were led many motos and, you know, you had this really cool style, and I feel like you didn't do a lot of interviews. I don't know. Maybe you did. What do you think?
You know, actually, you know, I thought the media would be a lot more crazy, but it actually wasn't. It wasn't bad at all.
Yeah, I think everybody got caught up in the Dungey Purcell thing, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I'm feeling the same thing you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. I read maybe one or two interviews with you, and that's about it, where I don't know, I just thought you might blow it up a little more, but whatever.
Yeah, you know, I thought kind of the same thing, but, you know, I guess it was a pretty big deal, Dungey and Porcel. I think I did, like, one speed interview once, but, yeah, it wasn't too big. But, you know, I did get a few covers, the race tracks, you know, stuff like that. So it turned out to be pretty good. You know, I'm really happy with everything that happened.
Right. And your goal in the sport is to just win everything? Is that the goal?
Oh, man, that's a nice goal. I'd like to definitely, you know, I'd say a good goal would be something like what James Stewart's been doing for the past couple of years now.
Right. Yeah, that's probably a good guy to shoot for, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, hey, thanks for doing this, man. I appreciate it. I feel like I feel like I got to know you a little better. And,
yeah, definitely, for sure.
Hopefully the people listening to this will. And and I'm telling you, you're going to kill it in Supercross. But, I mean, I don't want to, you know, just with your scrubbing ability and your ability to throw that bike around, Supercross was made for Justin Barcia.
Thanks a lot, man.
So, all right, thanks very much for doing this, and I'll see you probably Anaheim 1, 2010.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for everyone listening, too. I had a great time. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, bye.
Bye.
This has been the RacerX Podcast Show with Steve Mathis. Don't forget to check out some of our past shows with motocross legends such as The Beast from the East, Damon Bradshaw.
It got to the point where I didn't want to leave home, and once I got to the race, I wasn't into it. If I wasn't going to give 100%, I'm not going to take their money.
The working class hero, Doug Henry.
It was definitely an emotional moment for me, just thinking to myself, that's it, you know, and it's amazing the stuff that goes through your head in a short amount of time of the things that, you know, that I was going to miss.
The Dogger, Ron Lachine.
Until you really open your ears and you want to listen to what they're saying, it's like beating a dead horse. And, you know, and I know from personal experience, did anybody ever sit me down? Of course, everybody did.
Pro Circuit's Mitch Payton.
There's two ways to make the money. One is you can sign for money, or two, you can earn the money. I'm a high believer in earning the money. I think they ride better when they earn the money.
Seven-time Jeremy McGrath.
I was so mad, like so disappointed and so frustrated that I pulled pick and I left. Every point count. I could kick myself to this day for not just riding around in tents. It's been no problem. My ego got in the way, you know?
The O Show, Johnny O'Mara.
Stuff that you sit there, you didn't even want to ride it, you just wanted to just look at it all day. I mean, I got a chance to test all that. I like that era I was in. I really do.
Subscribe to the RacerX Podcast Show through iTunes to enjoy these and many more great podcasts.